said, he definitely has a fan club here at Real Life Church. And he's kind of like a national treasure. So would you stand and make him incredibly welcome as he comes to minister to us this morning.
Good morning. You may be seated. I'm not sure about the national treasure, but I'm old enough. I want to read Psalm 3 today. Psalm 3, beautiful psalm. It could have been an absolutely catastrophic psalm. It could have been an absolutely incredibly depressing psalm. But we're going to see why it isn't in a little bit. Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Amen. I didn't say that. David said that. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. Life is very strange. You can be going along in life and everything seems to be fine and good and normal. Then all of a sudden, a storm will come, or a winter experience will come. Something will come that will be catastrophic, that will just knock you around. It could be a family matter. It could be a financial matter. It could be a health matter. It could be work-related. All sorts of things suddenly knock you around. We're well into the new year now, and most of you that's going to make New Year resolutions have already made them and probably broke them. But we're into the new year, and I was thinking, what do people want? You know, what do you want this year? What do you want? What do people out there want? What do people around the world want? If you was to ask them, what do they want? Most would say, well, all I want is to be well-fed, well-clothed, like good education for my kids, like a nice place to live, I like reasonably good health, and I'd like a bit of security and a lot of peace and a lot of friends. That's what most people would settle for. Am I right? Yes. Enough to pay your bills. Oh, yeah. Enough to buy nice clothes and little bits and pieces. Most people would settle for that. So why is it so hard? Why doesn't it happen? Why don't we have that peace throughout the whole year? Why is it that we don't have those things that we just think would be good? Why? How many of you know the world's in a mess? And it's not just Australia that would like those things. They would like them in any other country. If you ask any person, wherever you go, they just want those basic, simple things just to make life good and to get through. And by the way, most people want to be happy. There's a few that don't, but most do. There's nobody here that wants to be miserable, is there? They'd better not be. And don't forget, I'm preaching so there's no falling asleep. Just to let you know, I was in a church, I was preaching in an Asian church the other week, walking down the aisle here, and blow me down, there's a guy here asleep. And I'd already told them, don't sleep while I'm preaching. And there he was sleeping, so I walked down, I put my hand, I said, wake up, brother, wake up, you're missing a good sermon. He didn't close his eyes for the rest of the meeting. So I'll do it. If I see you falling asleep, if I've got to stay awake, you have. So what is it about life that it just doesn't run smooth? Why? This psalm was written by King David. when he was well established on the throne. He'd been on the throne for years. He was getting on in years now. And everything was seemed to be going well. And then one of his sons named Absalom, who he loved his son Absalom very much, rose up against him, secured enough men and priests and soldiers to turn against him, and they threatened to kill him and to take his throne. In fact, this psalm is being written by David when he is running away from Jerusalem with his faithful men and his faithful followers are with him. They're all leaving. And his son, with all of his soldiers, comes into Jerusalem, takes over the palace, and establishes himself, or tries to, as a king. So this psalm is being written when everything is going wrong for David. It's one of those times when there's a winter experience, there's a storm around him, and it just seems to come out of nowhere, and there it is. David is now on the run. And so he starts, this psalm is a song. That's what psalms are. They would be singing these. So he's writing this. He had to escape miles. They had to go for many kilometers to get away from Jerusalem. So it was a long trek that they were on. And it was during that trek that he wrote this psalm. And this is how he starts. Oh Lord, how many are my foes? How many are my enemies? How many of those are against me? That's what he starts off. How many are my foes? How many rise up against me? By the way, it's a fact, an historical fact, that the best king that Israel ever had was David. This guy was the best king. And what's he doing? Running from the people. Aren't people fickle? No matter how good you are, you're only as good as your last goal. It's true. Or you're only as good as your last sermon. It's true. It's true. People are fickle. This was the best king, and they acknowledged that they ever had. But there was a group out to get him, and they wanted his life. So he starts off by saying, how many rise up against me? Listen to this, verse 2. Many, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. God will not deliver him. So it's pointless you're praying. It's pointless you're turning to God. He's going to help us to destroy you. Now, not only did they want him to vacate the throne, but they wanted to kill him. His son, Absalom, wanted his life. How many of you know that when your son wants to kill you, it's pretty bad? I mean, that's a downer. Would you agree that he had the right to start off a psalm saying, oh God, what's happening? My foes are all against me. Everybody's against me. Like that old British comedy film said, where that man came out and says, infamy, infamy. They've all got it infamy. Do you remember that, the older ones? No? Everybody seemed to be against him, but a faithful few that were with him. That's a terrible place to be in. Now, I don't know most of you people here. Most of you have probably not seen before. So I don't know what is happening in your life. I don't know what you are facing. I don't know whether you're facing sickness in your body, financial struggles, or family problems. I don't know what you're facing. But to you, you could be saying like David, how many are rising up against me? How can I get through this? Many are even saying, you won't hear me. You won't answer me. So that's how he starts. He starts this psalm in an incredible negative way. But one thing I love about David, he never stayed in the negative. One of the things about David, why he was so successful, was because he knew how to praise God. He knew how to look on the bright side and just not on the negative. Now, if you are being attacked, If you've got problems, if you've got sickness, if you've got family upset, if you've got marriage problems, if you've got financial problems, if you're looking at that, I tell you today it's been hard for you to sing these songs. If you're focusing on the problem that you've got, you've come in here, you hear all these people singing, but you are finding it hard to sing from your heart because your mind is focused on the negative that's happening to you right now. And I'm not going to belittle your negative. I'm not saying you don't have a right to be negative. I'm not saying that. David had a right to write those first two verses. He had a right to say, "Oh Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him." He had a right. And you may have a right to feel sorrowful. You may have a right to feel downcast. And if you're not this morning, because maybe you've come in here and you've got off to a good start with this year and things are going good, but I'll guarantee that some point in this year, some problems will come. Can I have a bit of feedback, please? You haven't all gone to sleep yet, have you? I mean, you just let that wonderful joke I told you just fall flat as a lead balloon. So come on. Before this year's finished, things will happen. And not only in your family, but maybe things will happen nationwide. Maybe things will happen worldwide. We're living in a day and age which is absolutely unpredictable of the future. And I've always said for many, many years, it's not the problems you face that defeat you, but it's how you face the problems. It's not the problems you face that defeat you, but it's how you face the problems. I've lived long enough. I started preaching when I was 16. I'm now nearly 79, and I've lived long enough to know my sermons work. Come on. Years and years ago, I was in Forestfield Bible Fellowship preaching a very powerful faith message. And as soon as I'd finished, and the meeting closed, a guy came to me straight away, rushed down to me, well-dressed man, and he said to me, "One day you'll realize that what you've just said is a load of rubbish." That's what he said to me. He says, "One day you'll realize that what you've been spouting isn't true, doesn't work, and you'll regret it." And he just walked off, just like that. That was a long time ago. It was got to be 25 years ago, maybe longer. Well, guess what? I'm still preaching it. And I'm still not regretting it. I still believe it's not the problems that you face that defeat you, but it's how you face the problem that defeats you. If you just look at the problem, and if you keep looking and looking and looking at the problem, I'll guarantee it will drag you down. It will bring you down. It will bring you low. If any man had a right to be low, downcast, and on the verge of depression, it was David that day, without a doubt. To him, that day he'd lost everything. I mean, everything. He did not know if for the rest of his life he'd be running and hunted. He was not a young man like he was in the early days when Saul was after him. He was an older man now. You don't want to be so energetic and run so much as you get old. It gets harder. So I'm telling you, he didn't know what the future held. You got to understand that. You won't get this psalm unless you realize it. He's writing it and singing it as he's on the run. He's not singing it from a place of victory. He's singing it while he's in defeat. That's what he's doing. So these first two verses are pretty negative. But then he stops. Because I love David. He's a man of prayer. That's why David was a great warrior. Because he knew how to praise God. He knew how to fight and get victories because he knew how to praise his God. There is a secret in praising God. There's something about giving thanks to God. And I almost was going to preach on that this morning, on giving thanks to God. I said to your pastor, I've got this message that there's a part in it that I've never heard anybody ever preach before. It's absolutely, and I was going to preach it, but I thought, no, it's going to take too long. It needs a Bible study. So if this year David puts Bible studies on again, Pastor David, I'll come and give you this because you'll need it. It's a three-parter on the power of praising God. Something phenomenal is in it. There's something phenomenal about people praising God that keeps you lifted high. Hallelujah. That's why David was always successful. He never lost a battle because he knew how to praise God. And this is probably the worst battle that he's ever faced. And he says, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. And then I like this next verse. But you are a shield around me. You bestow glory on me and you lift up my head. Whoa, what a wonderful thing to say. The enemy's on his throne. The soldiers want him dead. He's suddenly feeling really bad, which is understandable. Then he stops. Hang on a minute. You're a shield around me. It's you who bestows glory on me, not man. You're the one who lifts my head. I got a vivid imagination. I reckon all of a sudden he'd be walking with his men like this, going through this psalm he's writing, and suddenly you're the one who lifts my head. And I reckon David then walked like this. All his men were still walking like this. And they'd look at him and think, what's wrong with him? Suddenly, he started to change his attitude. Problems can make us angry, bitter, resentful, negative, sad, and depressed if we focus on them. Can I say that right now? Because some of you don't have a lot of problems, but some of you do. So let me just say, your problems of life can make us angry. Why has this happened to me? Bitter, resentful, negative, sad, and depressed if you focus on them. But when you sort of focus on the Lord, something incredible happens. David focused by faith on the solutions and not on the problem. By focusing on God, David's attitude and disposition changed radically. You are a shield around me. Now, in those days, shields were something that you held in front of you, you know, or if the archers were coming over there, you'd hold them like that. Or if it that way, you'd hold it like that. But they didn't have a shield that covered them. But David said, you are a shield around me. You watch my back as well. Can I say this? God's watching your back. Now remember, this is all by faith that he's talking, because he's on the run. And the enemy are behind him. The enemy want to kill him. And David says, but you, Lord, you're a shield around me. You're my glory and you lift my head. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wasn't saying, sort this problem out, Lord, and my head will be lifted. Give me the answer and I'll praise you. Give me more money and I'll pay my tithes. He wasn't saying that. In the midst of the pain that he was feeling, he says, you're a shield around me. You're watching my back as well as my front and my sides. You're my glory and you're the one who lifts my head. My head is not lifted by the success or not of this venture. My head is lifted by you. God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Some of you are saying amen because you know it. Some of you are looking at me as if I've just climbed out of a tree. You know, I'm telling you, friends, it's a truth. What I'm telling you is a truth. And listen to this. He says, not only did he say, you lift my head. He says this, to the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. Now, that's interesting. The holy hill that David spoke about there was Zion. That's what he's speaking about. Now, there's many connotations to Zion. I haven't got time to go into all of them. But at that time, way back then, because Zion's become known as Israel, the nation can be known as Zion. And there's the Zionites and so on. But the Zion was a place back then. It was a mound, a hill. It was the actual place where David brought the Ark of the Covenant when he built that wonderful tent for praise, and he put it there. That was called the Holy Hill. That is the true Mount Zion, the Hill of the Lord. That's what the Mount of the Lord. Now, it's in Jerusalem. His enemy has taken over his palace. His enemy is surrounding. He's not falling asleep. Give him a nudge for me. Nudge him. The enemy is surrounding. Listen to this. Get this. Listen. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from where? Mount Zion, the holy hill. Where? Even though the enemy was trying to take it over me, that's where the covenant of God was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and you answer me from your covenant. That's what he's saying. No matter what it may look like, no matter what it may feel like, no matter what you're going through, don't focus on the pain, don't focus on the problem, focus on the covenant of God. He's promised to sustain you. He's promised to bring you through. Hallelujah. He is a great deliverer. I mean, that takes a lot of faith for David to say, you're hearing me from your holy hill. That's where you're going to answer me. That's right where the enemy's tried to take everything that I've got. But that's where our covenant is. Glory to God. I love that, don't you? I think that's terrific. And he says, I cry aloud to the Lord. He was shouting. I'm glad you're going to have a 21 days of prayer and fasting. Shout when you pray. Cry aloud. Don't be insipid. Cry. You say, well, God's not deaf. No, he's not deaf, but he's not nervous as well. You can shout at him. Thank God for blind Bartimaeus who says, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he was shouting so loud that they told him to shut up. They told him, shut up. But he cried even more louder. Jesus had actually walked past him. You can imagine if he was like some insipid Christians and he was saying, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus walked right past him. He actually walked past him. So he shouted loud and Jesus stopped. And a miracle happened. You're allowed to shout to God. Not shout at him, but shout to him. Amen. We sometimes even shout at him. I've done that before, and that's not good. But shout aloud to the... He said, I cried aloud, and he answered me. Now, notice, let me show you this. This is faith. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. It hasn't happened yet. He's still on the run. Do you understand? This is faith. This is the faith song, a faith prayer. You're going to do it. I believe it. I believe it. Amen. And I like this. It gets better as we go along in this psalm. There's only 8 verses, but listen to this one. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Now, it was several days' journey that they were running off. They had to cross the river and go. And during the night, he laid down and had a good sleep. He had a good sleep. He was sleeping like a baby. That's what he said. The Lord sustains me. I sleep. Some people can't sleep if they know they've got to get up for work the next morning. Sleep is an important thing. It's very important. And I'll tell you what, I've got a feeling his men would have looked at him and thought, look at him. He's fast asleep. Doesn't he realize the enemy is chasing us? Shouldn't he be on guard? Shouldn't he be ready to give us commands? Look at him. Maybe another guy said, well, it's been a bit too much for him. I think he's in denial. That's what they would have said. Is it the man's in denial? I mean, how can you sleep when you've got a problem? I mean, can you imagine going to a psychiatrist and the psychiatrist says to you, what's wrong with you? And you tell him all these things. And he says to you, well, how do you sleep at night? Really wonderful. I never miss a night's sleep. I sleep like a baby. What are you taking? Nothing. I'm sleeping just good. Do you always say to you, you're in denial. Don't you know you've got a problem? Don't you know your wife's playing up? Don't you know that your husband's out there boozing and drink? Don't you know? Yeah. But I'm still going to have a good night's sleep because I'm resting in God. Amen? And do you know what I found? That people who can't sleep, it's very difficult for them. Years and years ago when I was in Armidale, and you remnant from Armidale people here will remember the times when I used to pray for people who couldn't sleep. God gave me a special gift of praying for people that can't sleep. Because I've been in scores and scores of churches, and often I've asked the question, how many people, Christians, are having difficulty sleeping? And I've been surprised at how many put their hands up. And this is what I say, because I've always been a good sleeper, except once. When I first went to pastor in Armidale, we came against some spiritual forces, some evil things, and I couldn't sleep. And it was terrible. You toss and turn through the night, then morning comes, you've got to get up and face the day, and you're tired before you start. You know, sleep is a wonderful thing that God has given to us to replenish us. And if the devil can keep you tossing and turning at night, he'll do it. So he can weaken you. But David says, I lie down and sleep because the Lord sustains me. He says in Psalm 4, if you look at the last verse of Psalm 4, he says there again, the Lord sustains me. He sleeps well. I believe that God wants you to have a good night's sleep. All of you. And some of you people are a bit like me. You sleep really well, so you can't appreciate what it's like for people who can't sleep. I'd never appreciate it till it happened to me. It happened to me for a period of time, and then I started to claim. I read scriptures like this and started to claim a good night's sleep. And I felt God gave me a gift of praying for people. I've prayed for thousands of people since that time for sleep. And many testimonies I've heard back of people that says, yeah, it's been wonderful. I've been able to sleep better than I ever did before. There's two reasons why people don't sleep. One can be because of satanic attacks, where Satan comes and he brings thoughts to your mind all the time of the problems you're going through. You can't cast them off. You've got financial problems, sickness problem, a family problem, and you try to put your head on the pillow, and all of a sudden all these thoughts come rushing into your mind and you toss and turn. You can't get rid of them. Other people can't sleep because of a chemical imbalance in their brain. And that's why a lot of people have sleeping tablets and things like that to try to bring the chemical balance back so they could sleep. So that is sort of a physical thing. But whether it's that or whether it's because you're just worried and concerned about what's happening, I want to tell you, when you go to bed tonight, you need a good night's sleep. Amen. All of you. You as well. A real good night's sleep. When you go to bed tonight, you need to sleep really well. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't want to embarrass anybody here now. I don't want to do this. But how many people here would say to me, John, I'm a terrible sleeper. I don't have good night's sleep at all. If that's you, just raise your hand so I can see it. Come on. Hands up, hands up, hands up. Come on. Don't be shy. Hands up. Everybody who's got their hand up, stand up right now. Stand up. Everybody who can't. I want the rest of you to look around how many people are standing now. These are Christians. They're good people. They love Jesus. They love him. But there's difficulty sleeping, and that's causing them all sorts of problems in their daily life. Yes, yes, true. I'm going to pray for you people. But not only am I going to pray, I want all you people who've not standing, You're not standing because you're having a good night's sleep, is that right? And if you're not, you're stupid for sitting down. You are, because it's an opportunity here for you to get healing. So you don't need sleeping tablets again. Amen? So before I pray, is anybody else who should be standing with this? Yeah, God bless you. Thanks for your honesty. Anybody else? Come on, get up, get in with these. Now, there's a lot. I found this in every church I go in. This percentage of people are under attack because of lack of sleep. Well, we're going to pray for them. It's a very important issue. And I would like you, as I pray, each one of you that is sitting, just pray. Pray with me. Don't just listen to me. Pray that these people standing now will get a touch from God in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for all your people that are standing just now. Beautiful people, Lord. They love you. They've trusted you. They served you. And they praise you. But Lord, you know what it is that's causing their lack of sleep. You know whether it's a chemical imbalance. And if it is that the brain is not releasing the correct chemicals for them to sleep, I pray in the name of Jesus, according to the word of God, that you'll stretch forth your hand and you will heal them. I pray that healing virtue will flow into their bodies right now in Jesus' name. That as they lay their head on the pillow tonight, sleep will come to their eyes. Give them good sleep, sweet sleep, blessed sleep in the name of Jesus. And for those, Lord, who are finding it hard to sleep because of problems, because their brain is just racing, because the enemy is bringing all sorts of things into their mind, I pray you'll build a hedge around and about them. I just pray in the name of Jesus that they will not worry, but they will think on good things. Whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is true, they will think on those virtuous things. And that sleep will come to their eyes tonight also. I pray that they will sleep so sweetly, they will be amazed. Lord, every person that's standing now, bring a miracle of healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. And that prayer's got nothing to do with your problems getting sorted out. Even if they're not sorted out, you're still going to have a good night's sleep. Amen. Well, there are two or three of you said amen to that. Where's your jolly faith? Amen. All of you were standing, whether you've got your problems or not, tonight you're going to get a good night's sleep. Amen. Amen. Yes. It's called faith. It's called believing. I haven't wasted my prayer, have I? I have prayed for you by faith, but you believe as well. Come on. If you need to do this, I did this once. I put a pillow, a Bible under my pillow. And I said, I'm going to sleep on the word of God. Not listen to what people say, what the devil says, or what the problems say. I'm sleeping on the word of God. You can try that. That works as well. So I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. See, the people thought he's under, his denial. It wasn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. And then the next verse. I love this one. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Well, that's the difference to what he started. Let me remind you how he started. Oh, Lord. How many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But he's encouraged himself. Now he's saying, I will not be afraid of the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Isn't that great? He's changed. His attitude has changed. His disposition has changed. He's not focusing on the negative. He's focusing on God, who's his shield and his deliverer. He's focusing on God, who gives him a good night's sleep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, when that guy said to me, the time will come, you'll regret what you've been saying. You realize how stupid it is. Well, I don't realize. I thank God. Is it foolish to what I'm talking? Probably it is to this world. As far as this world is concerned, it's foolishness. If you've got a problem, it's going to really destroyer. That's how the world talks. No, it's not. No, it depends where you're looking spiritually. Where you focus spiritually. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you something now that's going to amaze a lot of you. Now, I'm assuming that most people here are Christians this morning. There may be some of you that are not Christians. There may be some of you not born again. There may be some of you who've come to church today for all sorts of reasons, but not because you're a heart ardent believer in Jesus. But most of you are. Do you know what I reckon? You're all going to get to heaven.
Amen.
In spite of what you're going through. How many people here had such bad things happen to them? And it could be family related, health related, finances. It could be anything. But you've had such bad things happen to you that you've thought, I'll never get through this. How many of you have thought to yourself, if I'm not going to get through, this is going to down me. This thing's going to put me in the grave. This thing's going to finish me off. How many people have gone through experiences where they thought that the problems that surrounded them was going to destroy them? Hands up. Go on, hands up. Put up. Look at all those hands. Well, what are you doing here? You came through. In spite of the problem, you came through. In spite of the difficulty, in spite of the negativity, you came through. And if I was to say to you, how many has had it more than once? Quite a few of you put your hands up as well. It's not just once. It happens. I've been in situations where I thought the thing would kill me. I thought this is finished. This is going to finish me off. But amazingly, it doesn't. God brings us through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. A miracle, God brings us through. It's not the psychiatrist that brings you through. It's not the tablets. It's God. Because He's a shield around you. He's a glory and the lifter of your head. Hallelujah. I love that. So He's saying, I'm not going to be afraid. Well, again, I will not be afraid of the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Brother, you're in denial. They're going to kill you. No, because you're a shield around me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. I'm nearly finished, but it gets better. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Oh, I love it. Come on, I love it. This, I'm reading scripture. I didn't make these words up. Let me read it again. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Give them a good punch. Break the teeth of the wicked. Hallelujah. Now, I know, just in case some of you are thinking you've got to get your judo going and all. Yeah. I'm not talking about physical fighting. We don't fight flesh and blood. But we do fight principalities and powers. But if I was fighting flesh and blood, and the guy was a bit bigger than me, I'd look for something to hit him with. Do you know what I mean? I'd love for, if I was, if I, but no, I'm not. I used to street fight as a kid. I was a gang leader as a kid. So I know what street fighting is like. But I'm not talking about that. But I'm fighting principalities and powers. But if I was fighting with flesh, I'd give you a good knock on the jaw and try and break your teeth, you see, to try and do that. That's what I do. Well, I'm not fighting flesh and blood. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul's saying, we're in a fight nevertheless. Put on the whole armor of God. Fight the good fight of faith. So don't be passive. There's too many passive Christians that just let things happen to them and roll over them. Well, knock it off. We're not going to do that. Do you remember me telling you once? And this is a good story, and it will really be telling again. I went into somebody's house, and as I was going in, they had a welcome mat. And it was lovely, Matt. He says, welcome. You can buy them from Bunnings, welcome mats. Now, what do you do with a welcome mat? What? You wipe your feet all over it. So this is lovely. It was a new welcome mat. I stood on it, and I'm wiping my feet on this lovely welcome mat. And it suddenly struck me, Christians shouldn't have welcome mats there. They should have a mat with the name Satan on it. So when you stand on it, you wipe your feet and you go in and leave him outside. Amen? Now, just in case you're thinking I'm not very theological, Paul says God will soon crush Satan under our feet. Hallelujah! Just listen to that. God will crush Satan under our feet. So to me, that doesn't sound like being passive. It sounds as if I should be a bit militant. I love militant Christians. Come on. I love militant Christians who'll get up and fight for what they believe in. Fight for truth. Fight for justice. Fight for integrity. Fight for honesty. People will stand up and fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm not going to hit you physically. But the principalities and powers. Why is this world in a mess? Many reasons. Of course, the main reason is sin. But of course, Satan and all his cohorts take advantage of the weakness of sin in us. So that's why there's such a mess. A lot of horrible, terrible, nasty things are happening all around the world. I was listening to a criminologist speaking just three or four weeks ago when the fires were really raging. He said something that I didn't realize, I'd never realize. He says, between Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria and West Australia, there's over 10,000 arsonists. Over 10,000. Now an arsonist is a person who has a sickness. They have to light fires. That is their sickness. Seriously. All countries have them. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day. I said, you've got arsonists in England, but they'll burn a house down. Or they'll burn a shed down, and that's it. The fire brigade comes and puts it out quickly. In Australia, it's a bit different. You light fires in Australia, especially with the heat that we've had, and they're going to take off. And this is what this guy said, this criminologist. He said, if it was a terrorist who lit one of these fires, we'd put them in prison and throw the key away. He said, because it's arsonists, very little's done to them. So I'm just pointing out how many arsonists are lighting fires that we don't even know about because it's in them to do it. It's a sickness that they have. They just have to do it. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Just makes you think. So tragedies happen. Terrible things happen. Wars and all these things happen. Satanic influences. When a grandfather puts a gun to the head of his grandchildren, don't tell me that's something psychologically wrong. That is a spiritual thing. That is evil impersonated. That is the evil that men do. Satan. But nobody talks about Satan because, and what I'm talking about now, if I talk this to newspapers, they wouldn't even print it. They'd say they're so absurd, so stupid, so a religious maniac. But they don't realize that they don't have the answers for what's happening out there. But they won't look and see, well, what is happening? What is playing around with our society? What is messing everything up? What is it that people will do such evil, dastardly things that's totally unnatural? It's got to be evil. So David's saying something here that we all need to take notice of as Christians. He said, God, smack the enemy on the jaw, break his teeth. God, glory to God. And if the enemy's coming against you, don't be passive. Come against him with the word of God. Get the Bible, get a scripture, and start quoting it to Satan. Like Jesus did. Jesus quoted scripture to Satan. How did Jesus break the teeth of Satan? By the word of God. He quotes it. And you know what Satan hates? The word of God. He hates it. He loathes it. Because he knows what eventually it's going to do to him. So, listen, we're not going to be passive Christians anymore, are we? No. Praise God. Amen? Yes. Amen? Now, there's nothing wrong being... We can be passive in the sense that we're faithful to God. There's nothing wrong with that at all. We're passive. We no matter what, we keep pressing on. We keep pressing in. We keep going through. But there's times when a little bit of militancy is needed. Times when you need to rise up and put on the armor of God and smack him in the face. Amen? Don't be so spiritual or looking at me like that. Let me just say this to you. Somebody would say, oh, you can't talk about Satan like that. Who can't? Who can't? I'm not calling him names. I'm just saying he's evil. That's a fact. He's wicked. He's evil. He's caused such pain and suffering to this world and to our God that I want to tell you, I don't want to make friends with him. I don't want to be passive with him. I don't want to shake his hand and say, oh, well, you're all right anyway. Because he's not. He's the embodiment of evil, and all he ever does is evil. Have I got you going yet? Are you ready? Are you ready to get up? Some of you have got some problem. I know. I know. Well, don't just go for it in Jesus. Get the word of God. Claim the blood of Jesus Christ. Claim the word of God. Start saying, my situation's going to change by the glorious grace of God. Because you are a shield around me. The glory and the lifter of my head. So that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I'll read it again before I move on. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you all going to sleep or what? Are you learning to sleep with your eyes open? Is that what it is? And then the last verse. And I love this. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. And I got a feeling when he's saying that, it just didn't mean the people that were with him. I think he meant the people back in Jerusalem who'd been fooled, who'd been hoodwinked, who'd come against him but didn't realize what was happening. It was his son Absalom that had deceived the people. And I think that was a prayer of blessing on Israel. Would you agree with that? That's what it was. Now I'm going to tell you something in closing. This was the greatest battle of David's life. He had some incredible battles. You remember David and Goliath? You remember? He had something, but this was one that was so close to home. And his own son got killed as a result of this. He broke his heart because he loved his son. Even though his son wanted to destroy him, he loved him. So this was the greatest battle he'd ever faced. But you know what? When the soldiers came to fight, his soldiers, they said to David, you're not going with us. You're not going to go out with us this time. You're staying back. We're going to fight this battle on your behalf. You're not going to do it because it's your son. And so he had to stay at home, or in the place where they had settled, and his men went out and fought the battle. And guess what? They got the victory. They got the total victory. David became king again, seated on the throne, and he didn't have to lift a finger. Or did he? I think he did. He had a pen in his hand. He lifted the finger and says, you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. You sustain me in my sleep. You break the jaw of the wicked. I think this psalm led to his victory because he focused where he was supposed to focus. Amen? Amen? Now, you might think that wasn't very theological, but I think when you get to heaven, God will tell you what I've said this morning was right. But let me say this. Don't wait to get to heaven to hear that it was right. Believe it now. Face your problems. Face your difficulties and come against them in the name of the living God. Now, some of you have struggled for a long time. And you can get to a place when you struggle that it's so easy to think, well, what is the point? Nothing's happened so far. And I'll just put that to one side and nothing's going to happen. Don't ever do that with any problem. Don't ever do it. And please don't think that it's God's fault. If you're sick in your body, please don't blame God. If somebody that you love so much and you're praying for is sick, don't blame God. And don't give up on them. If you've got financial difficulties, don't blame God and say, well, he's trying to teach me some lessons. How many of you know when God teaches us lessons, it's not with a big stick. He teaches us lessons through his word. He uses his word to teach us the correct path to walk. And he teaches us in love. Can I say this? Whenever God quotes a scripture at you, that scripture is quoted in love. And can I say this to you? If you can't quote scripture in love to other people, don't quote it. Because it can become a stick that can destroy. Unless you've got love in your heart for the people that you've wanting to help and pray for, don't quote scripture. But when you have love and you quote the word of God, because the love that you have is the love that he's given you, that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, so you have his love, his word, I want to tell you, they're going to bring about victory. So I want to pray for people today who would say to me, I got a problem. I have real difficulty that I've had for a long time. And yes, John, I hear what you're saying. I sometimes put that to one side and think it's just in the too hard basket. Well, why not say, I'm going to sort of get real with God now. I'm going to cry aloud unto the Lord. I'm going to cry to that covenant hill. And where is the covenant hill? Calvary. Face Calvary and start to pray. Now, I'm going to ask people who've got difficulties, problems, and it's not going to take long to do this, but I want to pray for you. I want to pray that faith will start to rise within you again, and you'll start to say, we're going to sort that thing out, God, according to your word. We're going to sort it out. We're going to believe you. I don't know what it is. Don't care what it is. He knows. I don't have to know what your problem is. I don't have to know what your difficulty is. He knows. But what I can do is pray for you. Just as I prayed for those people who need sleep, I'm believing, friends, you're going to get a good night's sleep tonight. A very good night's sleep. In fact, so good you won't want to get up in the morning. Amen? If you've got a problem that you're facing, and maybe you've sought here, sought there, maybe you've even got spiritual help, but it's still hanging on. Why don't you get up from your seat? And come and stand at the front here. Let me pray for you. Just come. Don't wait for others to come. You know. If God's speaking to you, you know. And we don't want to go through life like having a great big burden that we're carrying that can be never sorted out. We don't want that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. If others need to come, come.
Are you including sickness?
Yes, I'll include sickness. Any problem. Yeah. Any problem. And of course, sickness can be a physical thing, and sickness can be a spiritual thing as well. Now, is there anybody else that needs to come before we start praying? Anybody else? Come right now. Stand with these people. I believe that the power of God is here to touch you people, to do you good. Amen. The Spirit of God's really working. Time's nearly gone. I could give you words, but I won't. I'm going to just pray for something good to happen. Amen. Is everybody here that should be here? Okay. Now, I want, because how many of you know I've preached a faith message this morning? Yes. Anybody who's sitting out there that believes the message that I've preached, that really believes it, I want you to get up from your seats and put your hands on these people. I don't want you to pray for them. I want you to stand with me because you've got faith. You're there by faith. You believe what I've said. And put your hand, make sure everybody who's standing here has got somebody with a hand on their shoulder. Just put your hands on the shoulders. Make sure everybody's covered. Everybody. Everybody's got somebody with a hand on. Come on, push in. Don't worry. Yeah, there's people here need somebody. Put their hands on their shoulders. Come right in. Push in. That's it. Good. Lovely. Good. Everybody's covered, are they? Good. We're going to believe for a miracle. Now, I don't know what all your problems are. There's many people here, so there were many different problems, from sickness to finance to family to work situations to spiritual problems, lust, all sorts of things, unforgiveness. All sorts of things can be here today. But it become a problem that you've been carrying for so long. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is powerful and effective to cleanse us from all of our sins. Amen. And it's effective against the onslaught of Satan. Do you believe that? Okay, just close your eyes. Believe this prayer that I'm going to pray right now. Father, you see all these people, every one of them, Lord. They're all here for special reasons that are really hurting them, Lord. Reasons, Lord, they're here because they need your help. They know that the help isn't within themselves, Lord. They know that. They've heard that you are a shield around them, and you're the glory and the lifter of their head. They've heard that today, Lord. And so they're standing here, Lord, not in their own strength, but they're standing, Lord, in your strength. They're here for you, Lord, because you have called them. Lord, just touch this man in the name of Jesus. Brother, in the name of Jesus, feel the presence of God come upon you right now. Lord, bring him through this incredible problem that's just latched itself to him like a leech and is sucking the very life out of him. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this thing and I pray for total release in the name of Jesus through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Can I have a gentleman come and just stand with, put your hands on this guy, one of the brothers. Yeah, come, put your hands on him. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's it, brother. God's seen that. You think you've been alone. You're not. You think you bore this alone. You thought at times God doesn't even care. But he sees far clearly than you do. I release you from it in the name of Jesus. Father, you're such a good God. These people need you. They look to you today, Lord. They're looking to you for help, for strength, for sustenance. There's problems that are here, Lord, that people would think this is totally impossible. Lord, you remind us that you are the God of the impossible. Now, whatever it is that they're facing, physical, spiritual, emotional, you see what they're facing. I'm praying now for each one of them to receive a miracle. And I'm praying that their faith will rise within them. That there will be a militant faith right here at this front today. A militant faith rise up with each one of them. And that, Lord, you will give them the victory through Jesus Christ. Because at the end, Lord, as we read in that psalm, the prayer was for you to bless your people. And my prayer is, bless these people. Bless them. In the name of Jesus, bless this man, bless this woman, bless her, bless her, bless her, Lord, bless him in Jesus' name, bless him, I pray, bless her, Lord, bless her as only you can, bless her, bless her, bless her, and I thank you for this man, Lord, what you've done for him today, bless her in the name of Jesus. Rakaboko kushuka barakabaha. The Lord would speak to you this day and he would say, I am your strength. I am your strength. You've looked to the left, you've looked to the right, but I am your strength, saith the Lord. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Look to me, look to my word. Take a look into my word and you will find strength to bring you through, saith the Lord. Amen. Blessing for my dear sister, Lord. Blessing for her. Blessing. Multiple blessings in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the cross, that miracles have happened here today. And these people will go away with their faith growing, with their faith rising, with praise rising with that faith. And there will be many testimonies of many miracles that have been done. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.